Thank you, Jerry and Joe. And we are going to be joined by John McDonald tonight, the Prime Minister of Defense, who's in here working with the Cleveland Indians as the analyst on their broadcasts, while Jim Rosenhaus handles the play-by-play. Their regular play-by-play, or their lead play-by-play man, Tom Hamilton, has this series off. And the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. An amazing finish for your Toronto Blue Jays. Had a 2-0 lead. Indians tie it up with solo homers in the fourth and seventh. Blue Jays take the lead back in the bottom of the seventh. And for just the second time this season, the Blue Jays blow a save in the ninth inning. Miguel Castro did it on April 18th, and Roberto Osuna did it today. Yan Gomes took him deep to right center field. Gomes' second home run of the night against his former team. But just like they did the last time they blew a save in the ninth inning, the Blue Jays walked it off in the 10th. That time it was Josh Donaldson. This time, Ryan Goins, perhaps the unlikeliest of walk-off home run heroes, gets the job done. And he is changing dramatically as a hitter right before our very eyes over the course of the last couple of months. He's having great at-bats now. The walks are up. He's hitting. This is some kind of Ryan Goins, and if it's a thing, this is an embarrassment of riches for the Blue Jays as far as the offense goes. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Indians 5-3. They snap Cleveland's six-game win streak, and they remain a game and a half ahead of the New York Yankees for first place in the AL East. Yankees won. They stay 9 games ahead of the Rays, who are in third, move 12 games up on the Orioles, who are fourth, and 14 up on the Boston Red Sox, who are in dead last place in the American League East Division. John McDonald just getting set up right now by our spectacular engineer and producer, Tom Young. And will join us any second, and we'll remind you of the phone lines. It's 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And we are ready to go with Johnny Mack. And what an incredible, like, little piece of luck. I asked you yesterday if you would do this tonight. And Ryan Goins is the first Blue Jays second baseman to walk one off since you. Tell us about that home run 4 years ago.
Well, you know, this one was a little different tonight in the magnitude of this home run, where they're at in the pennant race, and with the Yankees already winning tonight, and Yan Gomes hitting two home runs tonight to tie the game both times, and to come up in that situation. You look at the hitters that are in this lineup for the Blue Jays with Encarnacion, Tulo, Bautista, Josh Donaldson. And to have, you know, the length of this lineup and having a player like Ryan, you felt like Ryan Goins was going to put up a good at-bat sitting here watching this game. And you don't necessarily predict he's going to hit a home run right in that spot. But, you know, it's got to be a great feeling for him right now. And I mean, hitting a walk-off home run, having that be his first walk-off home run in September of a pennant race in a year when, knowing that the Blue Jays haven't been back to the playoff in you know, a good handful of years.
Yeah, 22 of them.
Yeah. Got to have a great feeling for him walking into that clubhouse tonight.
What's it like for you to see this team, to see this atmosphere? I mean, we all know you started your career with the Indians and you stayed there for a long time and you made a few other stops along the way. But I think everyone listening to this program wants to believe that you're a Blue Jay and you're going to be a Blue Jay forever. But to see this place packed, to see them in a pennant race, you were on a lot of teams that were really good, just not quite good enough. And what's this like for you to take all this?
Well, this is what you want. This is what we wanted during my time here in Toronto was to put the team into a position where we're in a playoff race, where people are talking about, you know, not just getting to the playoffs, but winning playoff games, winning the division, not setting your sights on, well, you know, it'd be great to make the playoffs. No, it'd be great to win a World Series. Making the playoffs does not make the offseason easier. Winning a World Series, that's the ultimate goal. That's the only thing that's going to make you happy. And having that goal, and I think you see that with this team, the goal is not to get to the playoffs. The goal is to win a World Series. You have an ace. You've got a bullpen that's much improved. You've got not only a great group of hitters at the top of the lineup, but balanced throughout. You've got a bench. You've got options. You've got Dalton Pompey coming off the run off the bench. Ezekiel Carrera. Can I say that correctly, right?
Yeah, you did.
Coming
well
off
done.
The bench, can steal a bag, can score on a shallow double from first base. So many different things. Deion Navarro caught tonight. Russell Martin had the day off. He's a bat in the hole in a spot for John Gibbons. There's so many options. This team is built for a run, not just to the playoffs, but to win games in the playoffs. And seeing this place full, and I don't think there's a player that's played for the Blue Jays over the last 22 seasons that isn't excited to see this place packed, and not just be packed, but the atmosphere. Fans standing last night in the seventh inning, trying to will this team to get more runs, to win more baseball games. It's a great atmosphere to have here.
It is, and I'm glad that you're getting this chance to enjoy it. That's John McDonald. We will get to some calls in a second. It is Blue Jays talk, obviously, but I just want to ask you about the middle infield. The first thing you said when you walked in here wasn't about the Goins' home run. It was about the catch he made on the foul fly in the second inning by Lonnie Chisenhall. I have to tell you, having watched him play a lot, I thought he was going to catch the little Bermuda Triangle blooper that Carlos Santana hit.
I did too.
And I didn't think he had a prayer at catching Chisenhall.
Well, you know, it was his acceleration. I think he thought he was going to catch both of them. The Santana one just kept on fading away from him. The ball down the line, it didn't fade. It hung up there. And when you're running for that ball, and you could see him accelerating to that ball, he was trying to accelerate to Santana's, the one that ended up falling. And as he was accelerating to the one down the line, he knew with every step that he was going to catch it, and it was not a matter of if he was going to catch it, but how he was going to catch it. Am I going to slide here? Am I going to catch it on the run? Do I'm going to have to dive? And you could see the confidence growing with every step that he was taking.
I want to ask you about Troy Tulowitzki too, because he's a tremendous defensive shortstop, but he never seems to plant. And he seems just more comfortable throwing off balance on the run all the time. We've seen you do it both ways. Is there something to be said for, I mean, he's just more comfortable? Is that all there is to it?
It's all comfort, you know, comfort in your arm slot, your arm angle. You know, sometimes when you set the throw and move your feet, you try to throw it a little bit harder. And I think he's got, you know, he has a really strong arm, as you saw on a ball on Francisco Lindor up the middle earlier tonight, where he set his feet. He took a little bit of time, set his feet, and he fired a strike to first base. But in his comfort, his routine balls, he likes his arm slot with a little bit lower, and he likes flipping it over there. And it's great. He's very accurate with it. I haven't seen him make, I'm not sure how many errors he has this year.
I think he has one since he got here.
And that's fantastic. And he needs to stick with what works for him. Clint Barmas does it, throws off the wrong foot, likes to throw on the run, but he's a terrific defensive shortstop. There's no set way that you should teach anybody to play a shortstop position. You know, whatever works best for them, wherever they make the least amount of errors, you know, that's how you want to promote playing of shortstop from that individual player. And I wouldn't change a thing what Tulo's doing. And the fact that he's playing so great on that side of the diamond, and with Devin Travis's injury, you've got Ryan Goins playing a heck of a second base. And that combination, you know, along with Donaldson, and I mean, it's great what they're creating in the where everybody's positioning themselves on the field. It's got to be a lot easier for everybody to play, knowing that I don't have to go get everything. Second baseman can go get the ball. The shortstop can go get the ball. Josh Donaldson's got range and a good, strong throwing arm. And it's taking the pressure off of him at third base, knowing that Tulo can go in the hole and make these plays.
I slandered him. He hasn't made an error since he got here. None
that's
for Troy Tulowitzki.
That's fantastic. You know, that's it's not surprising. I mean, he's been a terrific defensive shortstop his whole career when he's healthy. You know, he's had times when he's been injured, and I think I was, you know, I the first couple times I went to see him, got to see him play in person, I didn't know he was banged up. I didn't know his legs were bothering him. And I watched him play, and somebody asked me my opinion, and I was, you know, I don't know. It's just I haven't really enjoyed watching him play that much. He was a little, you know, he wasn't moving around that well, and I thought that's how he played. You know, I didn't know any better. When you don't see somebody live and you just see highlights on TV, that's all you could go off of. And when I saw him live for the first time in Colorado when I was with the Diamondbacks, I didn't see him at his best. And since then, I've seen him healthy, and I've seen him moving around, and how much ground he can cover and the strong throwing arm. So it's been fun to watch and get to see the real Troy Tulowitzki.
I want to ask you about three people before we get to calls, because you have insight into all of them. The first one is Cliff Pennington, who you played with in Arizona, who has not made a good impression yet on Blue Jays fans. Very early in his career or here. He's only been here for a couple of weeks. He hasn't hit, and fans want, you know, they want immediate success right away, or they'll say, well, what do we get this guy for? So tell us what we got Cliff Pennington for.
Why the Blue Jays went out and acquired Cliff Pennington, because he is a tremendous preparer. He helps other guys prepare to play. He is prepared to play every night. Hitting, you're not asking. You didn't bring Cliff Pennington over here to hit. You brought him over here to play defense, to be ready to go in and run the bases, to play D late in games if that's necessary. A veteran guy that has played in the postseason, that is sharp. He's going to help Ryan Goins prepare. He's going to know other hitters and be able to talk to Troy Tulowitzki about playing shortstop. He's played on turf probably, I think, a little bit more than Tulo has. He's great in the clubhouse. He does so many things that help a team that's not just on the field. And when you don't play every day, if you're going to ask any guy that sits on the bench all year to come out and get hits, you know, I think that's a little, you know, it's a little much, you know, from anybody to sit there and watch and say, you know, hitting, it should be easy for him to go out. Well, it's not easy for the guys that go out there and play every day. You can't expect that to be easy from the guys that are sitting on the bench. I don't care how prepared you are. It is still hard to hit when you get that opportunity in a game. But one thing that Cliff takes care of is he takes care of the baseball. And he's a smart player that's always going to be in the right spot, that is not going to be overwhelmed by the magnitude of any moment. That if he has to go in and play in game six of the second round of a playoff, he's going to be prepared.
Jim Rosenhaus walking in on us just to say hi and tell John McDonald that he's big leaguing him here. All right, that's one. Number two is the skipper. You played for John Gibbons. It wouldn't be a normal night for me if at any time when the Blue Jays fell behind in a ball game, I didn't get six or seven tweets saying, fire John Gibbons. Tell me a little bit about Gibby from your perspective and what it was like.
But why,
to play
though?
For him.
Why? Well, why?
Because he left Marco Estrada in too long, or because he didn't bunt with this guy, or because why didn't he pinch run here? Or all these things.
Well, it's great questions to ask, you know, why. But let's find out the answer. You know, why? You know, and what's the reason? He has reasons behind. He's not just saying, we're going to leave him in here. You know, he has a reason why. He doesn't like the next matchup. This is the best matchup for us to get outs and to win this ball game tonight. Now, back when Cito took over, back in what year was that? Was that
I want to say 2009?
2009 when that happened.
2008?
You know, we weren't playing good baseball.
Oh wait, it was 2008.
It was not John Gibbons' fault that we weren't playing good baseball at that time. You know what? Sometimes change in of itself is a good thing for an organization, and that change happened. You know, fortunately, you know, we didn't play well enough, and it cost John his job back then. Cito came in, and you know, we changed things up, and we went on. We had a pretty successful run toward the end of that year. You know, was that Cito? Was that John leaving? Was that change? And the fact that we did play well for Cito the rest of that year, and we would have loved to have played well for John Gibbons. There's not a player in that locker room that didn't love and appreciate what he did. And you change managers, and we loved playing for Cito. Came out, played hard, and we won more games. You know, can you quantify that and say why? I don't think so. But I think everybody that played for John, with the exception, you know what? Even Shea Hillenbrand, you know, he knows what happened. He knows that, you know, he was at fault and things that he shouldn't have done, and he needed to be called out on that at that point in the season. That wasn't a bad thing. We didn't view that as a bad thing in the locker room. You wish it hadn't have happened. You know, I think as players, you wish you had controlled that and let Shea know, hey, that's not the way that we want to, you know, conduct our business. And as I got older, I think I would have been able to identify that. I mean, I was more disappointed in myself for not identifying what was going on and nipping that in the bud myself, because that's locker room stuff. And as players, we would have liked to have taken care of that before it went to John. And unfortunately, it did, and he had to step in and do what he did. And we made changes. And, you know, I know Shea regretted, you know, how that happened. And John as well. You don't want those things to happen. But it wasn't his fault that we didn't win more ball games. We didn't play as well. And right now, I mean, this is one of the better teams in baseball. For somebody, you know, for fans to tweet up and say, you know, to get rid of him, you know, for, you know, I think you kind of need reasons why. You need a little, something behind it, behind why.
I'm with you, too. We're going to be tight to get in a couple of callers, but I need to ask you what the Blue Jays are getting in Mark Shapiro.
Yeah, tremendous communicator. I know there's a lot of things going on right now, and Alex has done a tremendous job. Paul Beeson has done a tremendous job of giving Alex the resources and to go out and acquire this team that he has right now and bring up through the organization. There's so many pieces of this organization. They've done a great job of putting this team together, and you know, with Paul retiring at the end of the year, if you're going to bring in anybody that is going to help lead an organization to beyond this year and help redo the Rogers Center and help address, you know, the spring training site and so many different things that Mark's already been through. And his communication skills, he was my farm director when I got drafted. He taught me so many things about being a professional baseball player. And one of the main things that he taught me was communication, that I shouldn't be worried about the things that I can't control. And that is, you know, what is my situation? What's going on with my career? Well, come on in, and he would say, come and ask me. You ever have any questions, come in and ask me, and I'm going to tell you the answer. I'm going to tell you the answer as we sit right now. But I'm going to have to tell you that this, I could get a phone call later today, and we acquire another shortstop. Now I'm going to have to come back and let you know that we've acquired this shortstop, and this is how it affects you now. So you also need to understand the business of baseball. And him communicating this stuff to me allowed me, when I left Cleveland, came to Toronto, to be able to walk up to J.P. Ricciardi's office and say, you know, what's going on? To be able to go in and talk to Gibby. Why aren't I playing more? I went into Cito Gaston's office and said, I want to play more. Why aren't I playing more? And you know what Cito said? He said, you know what? I think Marco Scudero and Aaron Hill are better than you right now. And that's why I'm playing them. And great. I went home and I slept great that night. But Mark taught me that it's okay to ask tough questions if you're okay to receive tough answers. And the communication side of that was awesome for me. And that's what he does throughout the organization. He cares about the lowest person on the totem pole in an organization as well as the highest person. And it doesn't, who you are doesn't carry the weight. It's, you know what, how can I help you become a better person, which is going to help this organization grow? And he's not afraid to learn. He's a person that doesn't have all the answers and will never claim to have all the answers, because he's going to talk to people and he's going to find out the best answers on how to improve the organization at this time.
We're with John McDonald. We got time for a couple of calls here on Blue Jays Talk. The Jays beat the Indians 5-3, and that's really great to hear about Mark Shapiro. We look forward to getting a chance to get to know him when he gets here after the season is over, whenever that should be. Blue Jays fans are hoping it's November. To the phones, let's go to Max in Scarborough. Max, say hi to Johnny Mac.
Well, hello, Johnny Mac and Mike.
Hello.
Max, how's it going?
Very, very well. I have to tell you, like you mentioned for the top about unlikely heroes, and this was something that no one saw coming, was Ryan Goins. I mean, this may have been one of his best games he's had as a Jay to date. I mean, I know he's still a young guy, but I mean, he may have more games like this, but this is by far, I think, one of his moments. Like, did you expect that he would hit a home run?
I don't think anybody in the ballpark, I don't think he expected he was going to hit a home run.
Well, I think people in here wanted him to hit a home run, but expecting it is probably asking a little too much. You know, I think for him to go home tonight and to really let it sink in, appreciate what happened today, it means nothing for tomorrow. And moments like this, is they stay in the back of your mind, but they need to fade out, because you've got another pitcher to worry about tomorrow. You've got another set of relievers that you may face tomorrow, and a whole new ball game. And it doesn't matter whether you struck out three times and made an error, or had a tremendous game like he had tonight, making plays all over the field, hitting a walk-off home run. You enjoy it tonight, and then you let it fade out of your memory, and you start preparing for tomorrow.
Even when we all remind him down on the field about it tomorrow, we ask him about it during batting practice.
You can't bring it into the game. You know, the confidence side of it really helps you. But the game changes. Every night there's something is going to happen tomorrow that hasn't happened all year. And it's the beauty about baseball. You never know what's going to happen. And you can't be thinking about yesterday or tomorrow and be prepared for the pitch that's happening at that moment.
Russ in New Jersey, one of our regular callers and a great Jays fan. Hey, Russ, say hi to John McDonald.
How you doing, Johnny Mac? Good to hear you back in Toronto.
Appreciate that, Russ.
Let me ask you, you know, something shouldn't go unnoticed today, not so soon. You know, a young kid like that, he goes up, he's had a great year, and, you know, you see about a player, you know, in the moments like tonight, and he gives up a home run, and then he gives up another hit, he's a guy in third, And for him to battle through that shows me a lot about the kind of pitcher, you know, the kind of pitcher that he is. He's pitching great, but, you know, to give up the homer, not just fold up and say, okay, tonight's not my night, and especially after the triple, and to hold a guy at third was, you know, it shows a lot about what kind of, what he's made of, and that, you know, you can trust him, it looks like, in a big game, because he's going to, even if he gets down, he's going to come back and pitch well. Regarding Gomes, the only thing I could say is, you know what, it's been the last month. If you don't swing at bad pitches, you're going to face better pitches. And I think he's walked like 30 times this year. For a guy like that who played, you know, hasn't played, you know, a tremendous amount this season, he's seen more pitches. He's having, even when he gets outs, he's having good at bats. He's walking more. And obviously when you get, you know, when you're not going to swing at bad pitches, you see some good ones. And, you know, obviously we didn't expect that. No one expected him to hit a home run. But you know what? He's just the last 3 months, he's just seems like he's comfortable because he knows he's there now to play second base now with Travis out. And he's just really, really having good at bats and good, you know, at the plate. And obviously tonight capped it all.
Yeah, Russ, thank you. We got to let you go because your phone is terrible. But I guess just the Osuna point, you got a 20-year-old who has been just unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's gonna happen. You think he threw 27 pitches tonight in the ninth inning, gave up a run, but he stayed in there and he executed pitches. He got through that inning. It was a tie ball game. You know, obviously he doesn't want to give up a home run to Yan Gomes, but he's also facing it. That was Yan's third home run in his last 5 games. He's starting to heat up, so it's a good hitter. He gave that home run up to. I mean, things are gonna happen, and it's great for him. He's dealing with adversity too, and he dealt with adversity that inning, and he may get asked to pitch again tomorrow night. And he's going to have to come out, and how is he going to respond at 20 years old? And he's got a lot of veterans down in that bullpen. He's got guys that he can talk to, LaTroy Hawkins, who's been there, done that. He's going to be able to bounce things off. Pete Walker's done a tremendous job with his pitching staff as well. And I'm sure the talks that he's going to have about what happened, about how he's going to adjust, he's going to have those tonight and into tomorrow. And then, you know, him too. He's got to let it wash away because, you know, hey, I didn't throw my best last night. I didn't execute the pitch. He was right down the middle. The 3-1 pitch was right down the middle, too, that Yan swung through. And the 3-1 was a little, 3-2 was a little lower. And, you know, he did damage on it. That's okay. It's going to happen. But how are you going to respond, I think, is what's going to happen.
And we get to check and see as over the course of the next month and hopefully two. I could keep you here forever, but we got to get to the Gibby tape and then we got to go. But thank you so much. It's the second time you've been in here with me, the first time not in uniform, which was the best moment of my career when you did that. This is great. I hope you're enjoying the return. I'm sure you're doing great on Indians Radio, and we'll always love you here. So thanks a lot for stopping by and doing this.
It's been a blast being me. This is my second day back in Toronto, and I'm loving it.
Good. We're loving having you. That's John McDonald. Blue Jays beat the Indians 5-3 in 10. John Gibbons talked about it after the game.
Gibby, given all that Goins has done with his glove, was it kind of fitting he end one with his bat?
Yeah. Well, he's smoking hot, too, the bat right now. He's really turned into a different hitter, but I mean, his glove speaks for itself. I mean, you look back at the foul ball he caught today, you know, the range he showed on that. And I mean, he's got such a good approach at the plate right now. He looks like he's cut down his swing. And, you know, that was a big win for us. It really was. And, you know, you don't expect home run balls at him. He's hit a few this year. He's hit a couple really big ones. But, yeah, it couldn't happen to a perfect guy. But, I mean, it was a really good ball game on both sides, you know. A lot of good things happen, good defense, you know, good pitching on both sides. You know, Pompey, don't forget him. He comes in, steals 2 bags and gives us a lead. And, you know, Gomes on their side had the 2 big home runs. I mean, it was a, you know, they're a hot team, a good team right now. I mean, it was a really nice game. And Aaron Sebria was 4 for 6, 6 RBIs today or something. He had a great one, too.
Big night for former Jays
Anybody
catchers.
Cares, huh?
Big night for former Jays catchers, right, Gibby?
Yeah, good point.
Back to Goins for a second. You know, he talked about this in spring training, and he said, I never said I was a bad hitter. Everybody else seems to think I am. But you look at what he's managed to do this year and how he's turned himself into such a, you know, more disciplined hitter, the walks he's taking, the at-bats he's having. What have you seen in his transformation this year?
Well, I don't think anybody ever said he was a bad hitter. You know, he was struggling a little bit at this level. I thought, you know, I'll be honest, I thought his swing was a little bit long early on. And, you know, when he, you know, if you get a big swing, you really have to have discipline. I mean, if you don't, you're chasing all the time. You got to get started earlier, just, you know, because you got a longer swing. And he made some adjustments with, tried some adjustments with that early in the season. You know, didn't work right away, and he abandoned it. This year, you know, a couple months in, he and Brooke, you know, they started doing that a little bit to flatten it out, and it's paid dividends. But, you know, he's always held his own and hit pretty good down the minor leagues. Now he's getting the at-bats, you know, that's a big part of it too. So, but, you know, it couldn't happen to a better guy, you know. I mean, he's, yeah, special kid. I don't know if he's a kid, but.
How did that unfold with Pompey? Were you sending him, or did he go on his own with those two bags he stole?
Yeah, well, he has a green light. Now, if we want to hold him, we'll hold him. But, you know, that's one of the reasons he came up here, because he's very good on the bases. You know, he's a big guy, but, he can really go. He's always, you know, he's got good instincts. You know, he always, you know, from the time I saw him last year in September to spring training beginning of this year, he's got a real good first step, you know, which is for a young guy like that, that's in a lot of ways is rare. So,
Gibby, when Donaldson bunted, did you almost have a heart attack?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, to be honest with you. You know, got no idea. Huh? It's none of your business.
Gibby, Osuna's performance fell behind a couple of hitters early. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, he was a little bit off today, Richard. No doubt about that. You know, his last outing, he went 3-0, and then he came back and was boom, boom, boom. Here he was a little bit off. You know, I think that was Gomes' second home run. I think it was almost like an identical spot, same pitch, and he hit it in, I think, the identical spot. And, you know, when ball's down the zone, you know, he's very dangerous, and that's where that ball ended up. You know, he's going after him right there. But you know what? He didn't cave in. I mean, which I think that was huge. He kept the ball game tied, and that's you know, he's not going to be perfect. He's been on such a nice little roll. Something like that's not going to hurt him.
There's John Gibbons talking about Roberto Osuna. Blue Jays have 2 ninth-inning blown saves this year, and they've won both. They beat the Indians 5-3 and 10 tonight. It's the Honda Post Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.